start a new topic, and yeah, I was praying really about what to share, and the Lord put two things on my heart. One which I'm going to do as the next topic. And then this one, which I feel right to do now, which is on the subject of prayer. Now, I began, as Pastor began sharing this morning, I thought, oh, he's going to take my topic for tonight. Because he started off talking about prayer and talking about praying. And then I was speaking with Sister Antoinette after the service this morning, and she said that the children have just started learning about prayer. So I thought, well, obviously this is, thank you, Lord, this is the way you're working, because you're leading us as a church to consider this subject. And I want to look at an overview of prayer tonight, but what we're going to do, God willing, over the next coming weeks, is I want to go through some of the prayers that people prayed in the scriptures. Look at people like Abraham, the prayer he prayed. David, Solomon, Moses, Jesus himself. Look at some of these prayers that were prayed and see if we can learn some. Now, we can't teach you, and this has been said before, you know, we can't teach you how to pray. You know, you just have to do it. But we can show you how people in the scriptures prayed, and we have that great model prayer that Jesus gave us in the Gospels, which has often been referred to as the Lord's Prayer. But I think Pastor reminded us this morning that's just a model prayer, a pattern. And perhaps not even necessarily to be prayed the way it's prayed, like a just really off-parrot fashion, which you find a lot of. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but and we used to do that ourselves when we went into the old people's home, the retirement home. You know, because some of those elderly people in those homes, you know, perhaps for some this was the only prayer they knew. You know, perhaps they'd grown up and not had a Christian upbringing. And so we prayed with them this, what has been called the Lord's Prayer. But really, it's just a model prayer. And we're going to look at that and just see if that gives us any clues as to how we should pray. But that will come in the weeks. But tonight, I just want to give us an overview of prayer and ask really the question, what is prayer? Now, we might have an idea. And I've got some scriptures here that we can look up. And perhaps you can help me tonight by, if I give you a scripture, just somebody reading it out and just sharing what the scripture actually says. But for a lot of people, most people associate prayer, and if you ask them what is prayer, they will say it's asking God to meet our needs and fix, if that's the right word, the situations that we find ourselves in. Now, prayer is asking God. We can see in the scriptures in Matthew's Gospel chapter 7, if we turn to that verse, Matthew 7, this is a scripture, or this is Jesus actually speaking on the subject of prayer, and he tells his disciples in verse 7, he says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." We have there in that verse Jesus telling us to ask. And prayer is asking. We have another scripture. Perhaps somebody could read this one for me. Mark's Gospel chapter 11 and verse 24. In this verse, Jesus was teaching his disciples about faith. But he makes a special note here in verse 24 about prayer.
Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours.
So there Jesus says, whatever you ask for in prayer, whatever you ask in prayer. And perhaps somebody else would like to read John's Gospel chapter 14. And we have, there's two verses in this one, verses 13 and 14. John 14, 13 and 14.
Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Amen. 14. Yeah. 14 as well, yes. Thank you. Okay.
If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Yeah, there we clearly see Jesus saying that he's talking about asking in prayer, asking for things, asking for our needs to be met. For yes, for the situations we find ourselves in, some aren't always easy situations. Some of us have gone through some situations this week which haven't been easy. But we ask God in prayer. Now, have you noticed those scriptures? And I've had a look through the scriptures and I can't find one scripture where Jesus tells us to go before him and beg. You know, prayer isn't begging. It's not saying, please, 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 God, do it. You know, please. You know, he tells us to ask. Ask in faith, we had read to us. You know, believing that we've already received the things we've asked for. The Bible never tells us to beg, but it tells us to ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Ask in Jesus' name. But prayer isn't just asking God, because that's where a lot of people focus on prayer. You know, we've got to pray, we've got to ask God this need, we've got to ask God for this thing, we've got to ask God for this. And, you know, our prayer times very often become, God, bless me, do this for me, you know, do this, meet this. But prayer... and we're going to read from Philippians 4 verse 6, because I believe this is a key verse when we're looking at prayer. A verse I love to quote as well. Philippians 4 verse 6, very well known scripture. Where the apostle here writes and he says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. You know, that tells us that there's not one thing that we should be anxious over. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What a scripture that is. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. You know, prayer isn't just asking for God to meet our needs. Prayer is talking to him, thanking him. You know, it's having a conversation with him. Somebody once asked me, yeah, well, how can I talk to God? You know, the only answer I could really come up with at the time was, you talk to God just like you're talking to me. And they said, well, I said, what, you mean just have that sort of conversation? I said, yes, that's prayer. Just talking to God. And it doesn't have to be asking for something specific. In actual fact, I do have times where I purposely come before God, and in this prayer time, I'm not going to ask God for anything. I'm just going to talk to him, thank him, praise him. You know, prayer is more than just asking for the things we need. It is talking to him. Not just about the things we need, but about all things. You know, giving him in everything, the scripture here says, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Yes, at the same time we let our requests be made known to God. You know, we bring our petitions, our needs, our requests to him. But prayer is also thanking him for who he is and what he has done for us. Let me challenge you this week. Just take some time and just come before the Lord in prayer. And purpose in that prayer. Just not to ask for anything. Just sit and thank him. Just sit and talk to him. Just like you would your friend or your spouse. Just sit and chat. And you'll be surprised. You know, just how easy it is. Well, how can you pray without asking? Well, try. Just try. But you soon find that then prayer is not just asking God or talking to him. You find that a key element of prayer, which a lot of people forget, is prayer is listening to him as well. You know, I'm surprised, but maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but now how many times I've been in a gathering of people and we've been praying and we're praying, asking God to give us wisdom or give us direction for something. I remember a time a few years ago when we were praying about a situation in our church and we were seeking God and you hear the prayers and Lord, show us what to do. And then as soon as we finish, as soon as we've said amen, we're on to some busy activity. You know, there's no time to sit and listen to. If you're going to ask for wisdom, or you're going to ask for direction, or you're going to ask God to speak to you in some way, at least take the time to listen to what he's going to say. You know, we don't just a quick prayer and then carry on with what else we were doing. You know, prayer involves listening. You know, I don't know how you would feel if you were in a conversation with somebody. You were talking and they were telling you something and then they came to the end of their conversation and said, okay, right, goodbye. And you're just about to say something important or something to help them and they say, okay, bye, and off they leave. You feel a little bit like that's not valued, or you'd feel that you weren't really wanted, they just wanted to sound off to you. You know, do you think that perhaps sometimes God might feel like that, you know? That we bombard him with all these prayers and all these requests, and we talk to him, and then we say, okay, amen, goodbye, off we go. Get on with our day. Go to work, do whatever we have to do. You know, prayer is, I once heard this from a minister, and I wrote it down. Prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. You know, we need to allow God to speak to us when we pray. Technology, my tablet's turned off, that's it. Okay, thank you. We need to allow God to speak to us when we pray. God will speak to us through his word. Yes, so that's when we pray, we come, we read his word. You know, we find out what he has to say to us. You know, the Holy Spirit will speak direct into our lives as well. You know, there's a scripture here, perhaps we can turn up. John 16. I like this scripture. You know, Jesus here is telling us that he's going to the Father, and when he goes, he's going to send the Holy Spirit. And he says it's a necessity that he goes, because if he doesn't go, the Holy Spirit cannot come. And in John 16, verse 13, Jesus says this. He says, look, he says, however, he says, when he, talking about the Holy Spirit, he says, the Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. And if the Holy Spirit's going to speak, if the Holy Spirit's going to tell us things to come, if the Holy Spirit's going to lead us into the truth, at least we should be listening to what he's saying. Now, if we wasn't meant to sit and listen for the voice of God. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to hear a loud voice in our ears which saying, I need you to do this or do this or do that or go this way. Now, that may happen. There's a verse in the book of Isaiah which says that you'll hear a voice behind you in your ear saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. So you may hear that. But very often you'll find that God will speak in just the stillness right inside. You'll just have that inner witness inside you that this is the way to go. God will speak through His Word. That's why we should read the Word of God as well. Especially when we're praying, because that's when God will speak to us. We allow the Holy Spirit to do what He's been sent to do. To lead us, to guide us, to show us the way. To declare the things of the Lord to us. You know, these words, speak, declare, they have this idea of something loud and vocal. So you can be heard. Let's take time to listen. Prayer is listening to God. There's something else about prayer. You know, what is prayer? Yes, prayer is asking. Prayer is more like prayer is talking to God. Prayer is listening to God. But something else about prayer that we see. Perhaps let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Again, in Matthew 6, this is actually from the prayer that Jesus gave as the pattern, the model. And he says, in verse 9 it says, in this manner therefore pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, part of our prayer is to make it a foundation for our lives so that we know what the will of God is. So that we, particularly if we are involved in service to God, and we're all involved in service to God, we're all witnesses for Him. You know, so don't just think that this is exclusively for pastors and those in ministry, because we are all involved in the service of God. Every single one of us. Whether we've been a Christian just a couple of hours, or whether we've been 50, 60, 70 years, we're all in His service. And prayer is a foundation for our walk and service before Him. We see in the book of Acts, in Acts 13, where the early church are praying. And in verses, I think it's 2 and 3, at the beginning of the chapter, you know, they're praying about what they should do, and the Holy Spirit speaks and says, I want you to separate Paul and Barnabas for me and send them out on the work to which I've called them. You know, they prayed about it. They sought God. And it says when they fasted and prayed, I think it's verse 3, that they released Paul and Barnabas into the work which God had put upon their hearts. You know, prayer is a foundation. And God willing, what we will see as we go through this topic and we look at it, we look at the lives of people like Abraham and Moses and David. We see how they prayed. We see that part of their prayer life was foundational in their life. If you look at some of the more, I was going to say some of the more modern people, but some of them are quite a few years ago now. People like William Carey and Hudson Taylor. You see that they were men of prayer. Evan Roberts of the Welsh Revival. You know, a man that was spent almost his life in prayer. You know, I believe it was Billy Graham. Not long after one of the, I think it was the 1984 mission he had in the UK. We were involved in Sheffield. There was a link from Sheffield at the time. And after that crusade in 1984, they asked him, you know, why? You know, what do you put down to the reason for the success of all these great missions and crusades and things? And he came back and said, prayer. Prayer. That same man, later, in one of his books he wrote, he says that if it was a choice of studying or prayer, he would study less and pray more. You know, prayer is foundational for our walk and our service with God. We see in the scriptures that Jesus himself often withdrew to pray. Why did Jesus pray? Well, he needed to hear from the Father. He needed to know direction. Because didn't Jesus say that he only spoke and did the things he heard from his Father? He didn't do anything of his own. So he had to pray. He had to seek God. He had to ask his Father's will. You know, it's foundational. And we're going to go through and look at some of these prayers that some of these great men in the scriptures and great women, they prayed, and look at Jesus himself. But then something else about prayer we see. This is important. Perhaps somebody could read for me Ephesians 6, verse 18. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Someone?
Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints.
Yeah, there, the Apostle Paul's writing at the end of this lesson. He's speaking here about the Christian armory. And it starts at verse 10, and it goes through to verse 18 there, where he says, praying always, with all prayer and supplication. Why? Because prayer is essential in our wrestle against the enemy. You know, it's one of the greatest tools that we have in our toolbox. You know what happens in a toolbox? You know, all these... You just have to let your imagination go tonight. In a toolbox, all these tools, they vie for chief place. You know, that the hammer argues with the saw that he's the most important, and... You know, you know what the most important tool in the toolbox is?
The tool for the job.
The one that's needed for the job. If you need to cut some wood, you don't reach for the hammer. And if you want to put a nail into the wall, you don't take the saw. You know, you get the job, the tool that's right for the job. You know, and prayer is one of our great tools that we have in our toolbox. You know, we have a number of them. There's the name of Jesus. There's the blood of the Lamb. You know, there's the shield of faith. The Word of God, which the Bible talks about in this very chapter here, the sword of the Spirit. And we have prayer. You know, prayer is essential in our wrestle against the enemy. You know, we should pray. Jesus said this in... I've written down the wrong reference. But Jesus said that we should pray lest we enter into temptation. That we don't fall into the snare of the enemy. You know, prayer is one of our weapons that we use, one of our tools. We had it read to us this morning. If we're sick and suffering, what should we do? Pray. James 5 tells us that. If we're in trouble, pray. You know, these are essential for our life. It's an essential tool, prayer. Well, let me ask the next question. Is there a right or a wrong way to pray? Let's go to the book of James and see what he has to say, because James did teach a little bit on prayer. We've seen what prayer is. Sorry, I didn't give you a chapter, did I? James chapter 4. We've seen what prayer is. And we've seen that it's important that we pray. But is there a right way to pray and a wrong way to pray? Well, let's read what it says in verse 3. Here, James is writing. And he says, you ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Just back up a couple of verses and see what actually he's talking about here. You know, here we have, he's addressing to some people here that are obviously in some form of strife here. He's saying, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. Well, he's writing to the church here. But in the church, all these fightings, wars, lust, murder, covetousness. He says, you fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Then he says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. You ask amiss. What's that? That means to ask badly. Actually, the root of the word there, if you look it up, means to ask with evil purpose. How can we ask? How can we pray with an evil purpose? Having a wrong motive. Why? Why do we, why do we want something? Is it because, like these people in the church here that James is talking to, is it because we want to spend it for ourselves? It's not for the good of the kingdom of God? Well, if we ask like that, then we're not going to get. We're not going to receive. Because it's the wrong motive. It's out of the will of God. Are we asking in the will of God? If we're not asking for something that's in the will of God, then we shouldn't be asking for it. And if it's God's will, believe me, then that's something we should be praying about. Because it says that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praying with wrong motives. Praying with out of the will of God. We've already read from Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, tonight. But we should pray in faith. That's the right way to pray. Pray in faith, believing that we've already received the things we're asking for. Paul writes elsewhere in the scriptures, and he says, look, he says, if it's not of faith, it's sin. Anything that's not of faith is sin. And if we can't pray in faith, if you cannot pray in faith, let me give you some advice. Shut up. If you can't pray, because if you're going to open your mouth and pray words that you don't even believe, then you're wasting your time. I think I've told you this story before. I was a little while ago. I used to do a lot of driving in the UK, and I called into this service station on the motorway. I can't remember exactly where I was, and I needed the brake. I needed the comfort brake, and I went into the gents in the service station. And I was washing my hands, and you know, you're looking around for, now they've got these automatic things, you know, there's air blades. But they had one of these machines on the wall where you have to press the button and put your hands up. And somebody had actually scribbled in a pen, a felt-tip pen, on this machine. If you want to hear a message from the Prime Minister, press this button. You know, but if we're not going to pray in faith, that's all our prayers are going to be just like that, just like hot air being blown out. We should pray in faith. That's the right way to pray. Believing that we receive. I believe another wrong way to pray is when our prayer should never be rushed or hurried. I believe that that's wrong. You know, actually, anything we do where God is, anything we do for God, or it shouldn't be hurried or rushed. Whether that's church. Now, I know there are times we have time constraints. We have to stick within those. You know, we used to rent a hall in the UK for our church. And it was one of these, you know, we had to be out. We had to be finished by 12:15. And that's it, because the caretaker was there to pack up. And, you know, and you always felt, as time was getting close, it's ticking around to 12:15. Think, oh, you know, you saw the caretaker stood at the door. Oh, we've got to wrap up. We've got to finish. But, you know, when we come to church, or we come before God, or we come with our worship, our praise, our devotions, it shouldn't be rushed. Shouldn't be hurried. When we read the word, no, it's not how quickly we can get from cover to cover. It's not a race to see who can get there first. Now now this has got nothing to do with the scriptures, but there was three of us at home over the weekend, and we, I can't remember exactly what evening it was. We was all on a separate laptop, and we were playing a game. And we said, the first one to win the game. So we had a race between us. It was me, Jane, and Joe. We were playing on this computer game. And, you know, who was going to win first? You know, this was a race. But when it comes to the things of God, we should never rush them. We should never hurry them. You know, we should take time to, as we're reading the scriptures, to hear what God is saying. As we're praying, that we listen to what he has to say to us. You know, when we're in our praise and worship, you know, I love that song that we sing. You know, it says that, you know, to be in your presence, to sit at your feet, not rushing away. You know, just enjoying and soaking up the presence of Jesus. You know, prayer is like that. It should never be hurried. Then there are some prayers that we should never, ever pray. You think, well, what are they? Now you're interested now. There's some prayers we should never pray. And this is one of them. Lord, if it's your will, heal me of this sickness. Huh? How many people say, if it's thy will, if it's your will, Lord. Now, we've got the will of God here. Now, if we can find it in the scriptures, that's the will of God. So we don't have to pray, if it's your will, Lord, save me. Oh, what a silly prayer. You should never pray that type of prayer, because it shows our ignorance for the word of God. And our lack of faith. It underscores our belief. There's another, and this used to wind me up. I've been in quite a few prayer meetings where I've heard this prayed. And these were elder, not so much elderly people, but elders in the faith than me. And I'd hear them pray this. And I can't find this anywhere in the scriptures. They finished their prayer, a nice prayer, a beautiful prayer. You know, maybe even a powerful prayer. No, for Jesus' sake. I can't find that in the scriptures. They were told to pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Not for his sake. Actually, let's look at a scripture. Ephesians 5, verse 20. Ephesians 5, verse 20. It says here, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father for Jesus' sake. Yes?
No.
No. What does it say, brother? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about Colossians chapter 3? Somebody read that one. Colossians 3, verse 17. Colossians 3, 17.
Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
Yeah. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all for Jesus' sake. No. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, it says here. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, let's just... as we sort of just bring tonight to a conclusion, let's just what is prayer? It's asking, it's talking, it's listening to God. How should we pray? Now some of these we haven't looked at, but we should address our prayers. We should pray to God the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit. Now I don't think it's wrong to pray to the Son and the Holy Spirit, because they're all God. We pray to the Father. We pray to God. Not to a man. Or a woman. Or a group. Our prayers are addressed to God. In faith. In Jesus' name. But why should we pray? That's a question that perhaps we should consider. Why should we pray? Because God expects, and dare I say, even commands that we pray. You know, just in the scriptures, it's when Jesus is teaching on prayer. Just go back and look at some of these. You'll find he says, when you pray. He didn't say if you pray. It would be good, guys, if you could pray. You know, do your best. He says, when you pray. Actually, he said to his disciples, he said, watch and pray. That was a direct command. Watch and pray. Lest you enter into temptation. Why? Because he says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, watch and pray. Well, why should we pray? Because God knows the things we need before we even ask him. That's what the scripture says. Yeah, that's what the scripture says. It does say that God knows the things we need before we even ask him. So why bother praying? Well, it shows God that we trust him with our needs. Lord, yeah, we know you know we need this, but we're bringing it before you. We're asking you to meet our need. We're asking you for this. Why? Because it shows him that you have to get this answer. It lets him know that we know that he's capable of meeting our needs. Did you get that? I don't think I did. It lets him know that we know that he is capable of meeting our needs. And why should we pray? Well, because it's essential, as we've already seen, in our wrestle against the enemy. Well, where should we pray? The Bible tells us that we should go into the secret place, into the closet and pray. Again, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with standing on the street. You know, we pray wherever. We prayed in the cemetery the other day. There's nothing wrong with praying outside. We pray in restaurants when we go and eat a meal. But we don't pray there to be seen by others, like the Pharisees did. You know, where they made their big long prayers and long words. And that used to get me as well sometimes in church. I remember as a growing up as... Actually, this was in Hortus Road that we were talking about the other day. I used to sit there sometimes, and I used to hear some of the elderly men praying. And they were wonderful prayers. Words that I'd never even heard of. Some of the words I couldn't even pronounce. I was still only a young lad. And I used to think, wow, wouldn't it be wonderful to pray like that? You know, then as I grew up, I realized that, you know, my attitude then, wouldn't it be wonderful, better, was more for a show. Because it would show people that I've arrived. I can pray the prayers. But no, that's not how we should pray. We should go into the secret place, Jesus said, and pray in secret, and then God will reward us in the open. Well, when should we pray? Let's wrap it up with this question. Do you know what the psalmist said? Psalm 55, verse 17. When should we pray? Well, he came up with this. He says, evening, morning, and noon will I pray and cry aloud. In Luke's Gospel 18, verse 1, it says that we should pray at all times. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 tells us to pray without ceasing. Do you know when we should pray? Anytime. Whenever there's a need to pray, we should pray. Evening, morning, noon. You know, thank God he never sleeps. He never slumbers. We don't have to wake him up. We don't have to go in there and sort of shake him and trying to... No, I won't say it. I should get slapped later. He never sleeps. Unlike some of the women in my house, that's what I was going to say. I have three. You know, even that's something you feel like even an earthquake won't move them sometimes, you know. But God's not like that. He's listening. So we can come to him anytime. Call upon him. You know, we have a great promise. Let me just finish with one scripture. Perhaps somebody can read it for me. Book of Jeremiah, 33, verse 3. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. All the threes. 33, 3. Jeremiah. Someone read it for me. Who's got it?
Call to me. And I will counsel you, and I will tell you great and hiding things that you have not known.
Call to me, and I will ignore you. No, I will answer you, he says. I will answer you and show you great and mighty things, things which you do not know. Call to me. And I will answer. You know, when we pray, evening, morning, noon, middle of the night, he's there and he will answer. That's his promise. He says, call upon me, says, and I will answer you. Amen.